It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast, coming to you from KISU Studios at Idaho State University. I'm your host, Chris Chatwin from the College of Business, and I have with me today our guest, Ashley Larson. Ashley, thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
I'm going to have you introduce yourself here in a minute. Tell us a little bit about yourself. But before we do, something I have been doing a few times here over the last several months, we need to do an update on student loan forgiveness, which as of this moment is not a thing, it would appear. So the Supreme Court has made a decision. As someone who does have some student loans from a doctoral program, I did receive a nice little letter here from the Department of Education, or let's see, this is from Secretary of Education, and outlining a few things, and I think these are things that everyone needs to be aware of. So the most important thing right now for individuals to be aware of who currently have student loans. One, as of now, there is no longer the $10,000 or $20,000 of forgiveness. So that's the first thing to be aware of. The other very important thing to be aware of is that beginning on September 1st, that's September 1st of 2023 of this year, interest will once again begin accruing on your student loan. So during the whole COVID crisis, there was a temporary pause that ended up being about 2.5 years on the interest growing on those loans. So anyone that did have student loans, the amount was frozen, no interest growing. That ends September 1st. So beginning September 1st, your student loans will begin to accrue interest, and payments for those student loans begin in October. So everyone out here should be getting notifications from whoever is currently administering their student loans, letting them know what to expect. But if you are in need of more information, I direct you to go to studentaid.gov/debt relief. You'll get all kinds of information, including, although there is no, at this time, student loan forgiveness, there is some information on potential changes to payment plans so that lower income individuals can find some relief from payments. At the very least, one of the things they want to try and do is stop the interest from outpacing the loan. Ashley, thank you for joining me in the studio. I really, really do appreciate you being here with us. Ashley is in the College of Business. Ashley is an amazing advisor that we have, but I'm gonna turn the time to her to brag about herself.
Thank you, Chris. My name is Ashley Larson, and I am the Student Services Advisor for the College of Business here at Idaho State, and I'm also a lifelong Bengal myself. I got both my degrees here at ISU, an undergraduate degree in social work, and then my master's in public administration. And all total, I started here at ISU as a student in 2009. I've worked here for about 9 years, so I'm creeping up on 14 years here total as a student and an employee.
Yeah, we love lifelong Bengals. This is just a fantastic university, so Ashley is passionate about this place and passionate about the students because she was a student. So Ashley, in the advising office, what is it you do specifically in the advising office? And obviously for us right now, that's for the College of Business, right?
Yeah. So my position is actually fairly unique. It was created as I got the job. It was brand new. And one of the things in the College of Business that we really like to focus on are the in-house student services we provide. So everything from professional development direction, internship advice, to picking your classes, knowing what majors are going to be the right fit. So in the College of Business, we have a unique advising structure where students are connected with myself or our other advisor from their very first foray into the College of Business. And then we work with them clear throughout their time until graduation, which allows us a really unique opportunity to get to know students, you know, get to know their strengths, their goals, their academic interests, all of that, and then really provide a very catered and tailored experience to them in terms of making sure they can graduate in a timely manner with as little debt as possible and all of those
key
things.
That's what we like, as little debt as possible.
Yes, tying into your first part of the conversation there, that's a huge concern for a lot of students. And we find that consistency in advising helps with retention and graduation rates, which in turn impact how much students spend for their degree.
Oh, I love what you just said there, because I think that's key, that advising, knowing where you are on the path. I mean, it's just goal setting 101, right? It's not just setting goals, but then tracking those goals.
Exactly.
And having someone to help you with that when it comes to my education and where I am is going to keep me on that path so that I can, you know, get out of here in maybe 4 years instead of six because I dragged my feet.
Absolutely. So. I was one of those students that took 6.5 years to get my undergraduate degree, and part of the reason I have the student loans that I do. And looking back, having that guidance in terms of, you know, take this class here or maybe try this kind of approach to your degree could have potentially saved me not only the time I spent earning the degree, but the tens of thousands of dollars it costs to do as well.
Well, I know that we are extremely lucky to have you in the College of Business. And when I say we, like right now, that's me as a member of the faculty, knowing all that you do for us as professors and as other faculty, but also in what you do for the students. And so since Ashley's not going to brag about it, I'm going to. Okay, I'm going to. I've got pulled up right here, lovely news article from the ISU News. Ashley received an award here, the Annual Advising Awards. I need you to tell our listeners about this award.
So this award in particular was given to me by the advising community at Idaho State. So there's a group of professional and faculty advisors across the university that have sort of a professional development type group. And each year they award 4 awards to advisors from different categories across campus. And this year I was nominated and won the Advising Role Award, which is for people who advise in a majority of their job and have been here for at least 3 years or more.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I've had numerous students that have talked to me about having met with Ashley, about having kind of received guidance, direction on what courses to take, and not just on what courses to take, but how to, as she has pointed out, how to get through the program in as little time as possible while still getting everything you need and avoiding those student loans as much as possible, getting the full-time employment as soon as possible, and just talking about how comfortable you've made them feel, how valued you've made them feel, that it's not just about numbers, it's about helping people. Not only are we the faculty very fortunate, our students are incredibly fortunate. We've got wonderful people supporting them. I appreciate you being here, and I need you to know that.
Thank you.
As also a former Bengal student myself, and how important that is, and we really appreciate that. All right, so now, Ashley, we don't just have you on here to brag about who you are, but in a way we do, because there's another thing that you can help these students with. We are here to talk about the Bengal Financial Literacy Certificate, which is offered here on campus, offered through the College of Business, but available to anyone. And your primary role is to advise College of Business majors, so somebody majoring in business. Maybe you can go through this process for both a business student and maybe somebody who is not majoring in business but develops this interest in a potential financial literacy certificate. What is the process in that?
That's a great question. So one of the unique things about an academic certificate versus kind of more of the traditional curriculum that we've heard about in terms of majors, minors, degrees, a certificate, much like a degree, can exist as its own entity, whereas a minor in finance or an emphasis in a certain area has to typically be tied to at least a 2, but typically a 4-year degree. And there's a lot of people out there who are not necessarily interested in pursuing a full 2 or 4-year degree, but they're still looking for either professional development or personal, you know, knowledge in areas, financial literacy definitely being a big one for a lot of people. I think in the last few years, there's been an increased interest in financial literacy through COVID and all of the sort of financial upset we saw people, you know, being without a job all of a sudden and not necessarily knowing how they're going to pay their bills. I personally have dealt with a lot of students and people from the community who now have this increased awareness of how little they know about finances and how to manage those. So with the certificate, what's nice is people don't have to make a years-long commitment to a finance degree or something of the sort in order to gain kind of these specific bits of knowledge that they're really looking for. So with our certificate being able to exist as its own piece of curriculum, it's three classes, and it's something that a community member can apply to the university and pursue, complete in three semesters. Three classes, very quick, very simple, but it's going to cover a wide range of financial literacy aspects that kind of based on feedback is what people are really looking for. So for community members, it can be, like I said, as simple as that. You apply to the university. We have a very brief application process because we're essentially an open enrollment school where we need you to complete some paperwork, go through that application process. And then if you're a current student, it's an even simpler process because when you're already admitted, we're able to just add that certificate on as a secondary curriculum. One of the things that can be confusing sometimes for students is whether or not you can add this if you're in the College of Business. And the answer is yes, students from any program can add a certificate. It's separate from their actual degree or their major. It doesn't impact anything that they're doing otherwise. And with only being three classes, the vast majority of degrees at the university require a handful of elective credits. And so it's typically pretty easy for students to incorporate those three classes or nine credits into an existing degree plan.
Yeah, so I think what I love most about this certificate, you're saying so many awesome things about it's not going to be a time-consuming thing with only being three classes. It is available whether you're a business major or a non-business major. It's even available to the community, which is also something we're kind of working on as far as through continuing education workforce training of trying to offer these three specific classes through that. Mm-hmm. And that is that so many students at this university, whether they know it or not, a vast majority of the students actually knock out one of the classes without even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that everyone does, but one of the general education requirements is the information literacy requirement, and a lot of students end up taking personal finance as that course. And that is our very first course in the financial literacy certificate. So a student might take that class that has no interest in finance, has no interest in business. They're studying anything, and yet they've got course one finished, which might introduce them to, hey, this financial literacy certificate, I'd like to maybe learn a little bit more and expand on that. So when they do that, so that's going to be the first course. Then they've got options. If they're a non-business major, they're going to take a course called Financial Concepts, which is, I guess, technically our finance course for business minors, but again, available to anyone that's pursuing the certificate. And if they are a business major, they're going to take our corporate finance course, which is one that they'd need to take through the business core. After that, there's all kinds of options that you can kind of tailor to what you like. We've got the real estate finance course that's an option. So somebody that's interested in knowing more about real estate investments, the entrepreneurial finance. So if somebody is, you know, interested in maybe at some point owning a business, operating a business, you know, maybe you've got somebody that's here that's majoring in dance or, you know, and thinking of a dance studio down the road. And, hey, this financial literacy certificate's going to help me in running my business, running my dance program. And entrepreneurial will be a great class there. Or we've got the financial applications course. So that third course, you've got three options. And that one really just kind of tries to take concepts learned that are both personal and corporate and kind of bring them into a real-world setting and application process. So many students that may think, well, this is way outside my realm, actually, it's really not. So if they want to declare for this, who do they come to?
If students are interested or community members are interested in the certificate, they can contact me or our other advisor, Tara Smith, and we are able to discuss their interest in the certificate and then the actual process of adding that to a record is very simple. You can always email us at cobadvise, so that's COBADVIS at isu.edu, and we're typically back to you in a couple of hours if that. So, and that whole process is very simple.
Okay, so if we want to declare, we reach out to yourself, so Ashley Larson or Tara Smith. Now, I've declared. That's great. I'm pursuing these classes. And as you mentioned, which is a great point, so many of these programs, no matter what you're studying, require additional electives and you got to earn so many credits. So you're really not putting yourself behind by taking an extra course that might be outside your wheelhouse. The other, I guess, really important thing for us to discuss is, hey, a certificate's nice. Free money's even better. And I know we've got at least one, as of right now, at least one wonderful scholarship opportunity specifically for students who are declared as pursuing the certificate. Is that not correct?
That is correct. So we have what we call the Citizens Community Bank Financial Literacy Scholarship. So Citizens Community Bank, who's very involved in the college business and supports us in a lot of ways, has funded this financial literacy scholarship. It is a $500 scholarship given out, and it's to a full-time student. So this is one of the things we like to clarify. Even though the certificate only requires three classes and you're typically taking one at a time, this scholarship in particular at this time is only awarded to students who are full-time. So if you're in another program and you've added the certificate or you're in the college business, you need to be enrolled in at least 12 credit hours per semester.
So one that unfortunately for now not available to the community members or somebody just taking additional classes.
Exactly. So for now, this scholarship is just for our full-time students on campus. Students must demonstrate financial need for this certificate, and that's something that is determined through completing your FAFSA application. So back to kind of the student loan discussion and all of that, in order to qualify for this, you have to complete your federal application for student aid, and you also have to demonstrate financial need through that application. So those are the three things. We require that you're a full-time student, you have the certificate declared, which you mentioned, Chris, and then you must be a full-time student and financial need. Those are the three things we're looking for. The application to apply for the scholarship is very simple. One of the nice things about the College of Business is we have a central scholarship application, so you don't have to search individually on your own for these. If you have the certificate declared, then our Bengal Online Scholarship System, or BOSS for short, is smart enough to recognize that, and it will populate with the College of Business scholarship application for you based on having that certificate on your record. And then you'll complete that, and then from there, our Director of Undergraduate Studies works on a pretty extensive scholarship awarding process, and we go from there. And that scholarship is open every year, twice a year, from April 1st to May 1st, and then again from November 1st to December 1st. So any students who are interested in the certificate, you just need to make sure you have that declared on your record before those deadlines so that the system will populate with the application for you.
So make sure you're declared for the certificate. So that's official. Do that through Tara or through Ashley. Have completed your FAFSA application, and then during those deadline periods, you said that was between April and May, and then again between
November and December.
Between November and December, go through the BOSS application system as you're applying for all these other scholarships, because you should be applying for everything you possibly can. And one of the things I tell my students is there is no way you cannot exhaust all your options for scholarship money. Apply for things even you might think, I might not be eligible for this.
Absolutely. I've been on many scholarship committees here at ISU, and probably half of them have gone back into the pot for the next semester because we didn't have anybody apply. I've been on scholarship committees where we didn't have anybody who qualified according to the instructions apply, and we have contacted donors, and they've been willing to look at alternatives and things like that to make sure that that money goes to a deserving student. So that is the thing I tell students. You invest in that like it's a part-time job, mm-hmm. and it will pay you more per hour than any job you're probably ever going to have as an adult. So
yeah, I like that. And then you avoid the debt that hangs over you.
Absolutely.
So, and as I said, as of right now, only one scholarship opportunity. If somebody out there is listening, we'll take lots more scholarships. I mean, we've got opportunities to help students wherever we can. So if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, let's help, let's reach out. Okay? And if you're a student thinking, yeah, financial literacy sounds important, I'd like to learn more, please reach out. You can search the financial literacy certificate through the ISU College of Business website and find the information there as far as declaring, as far as the courses and everything else. So,
and I will just compliment that by saying we have some of the best finance professors you're going to find. Professor Chatwin, Chris here, teaches the personal finance class. And one of the things I know I and our students really appreciate is that he teaches a lot from professional experience. So I hear examples of, you know, the case studies that he uses.
Oh, professional and stupid mistakes that I might have made.
A little of both, I think, is a good mix.
And a few good ones.
Yep. Your Soda Barn Dr. Pepper gift card story is infamous.
That seems to be spreading.
But it's, I think, that type of story that's so relatable. I mean, people my age, we hear about the stock market or in the economy and interest rates and the feds and all of that. And it's, to a lot of us, it's a foreign language. And so when you have a professor who's able to break down these really complex concepts into pieces that are not only easy to understand, but easy to relate to, I think that makes a huge difference in getting people interested in things like financial literacy. And it's not, you know, just something for kind of these elite people who have lots of money. They're good things for all of us to know. So.
Yeah, I think all of us, we all live in this world, to steal the line from the wedding singer. It's, I like money, I have a little, I'd like to have some more. And that's where you come in. I think that's what we're all kind of working towards. Definitely an important subject, whether you are in business or not, it doesn't matter. And it's just really good to know that there's opportunities to learn more and, you know, be able to even possibly get a scholarship to help with that. Anything helps, I think. So,
absolutely.
Ashley, thank you so much for that. We've got a couple of minutes left. I think at this point, it's just really important for us to now just put in a plug. Now, I'm not saying everybody should study business, but I am saying that there are a lot of people out there. I was one of those when I came to school. I had no clue what I wanted to study, so I was taking all kinds of classes. What can you tell us for somebody out there that might not know what they want to study? What can the College of Business offer?
Well, at the very least, we offer a few really important classes, things like personal finance, introduction to business. And I always encourage students, even if you're not sure what you want to major in, explore these areas, because there's never an instance in your life where a skill like personal finance or marketing or management is not going to be useful. One of the things I tell my students is, in America, the way that capitalism works, every single thing is run like a business, even things you wouldn't necessarily expect to be, things like education, healthcare, they operate as a business. And so knowing how a business functions, knowing how to manage finances, knowing how to interact with people, knowing how to market yourself as an employee, those are skill sets that would be valuable to you in any arena of your life, personal and professional. And so I don't think there's ever time wasted when you are exploring classes like Intro to Business or Personal Finance. Within our majors, we have a lot of students who have other primary interests. You mentioned earlier, you know, if you want to own a dance studio, I have students who want to own mental health clinics, mm-hmm. or automotive repair shops, or they have a great, you know, entrepreneurial idea of something that they want to come up with. And even if that business component is not their primary focus, having some experience in business enhances what they're able to do in those other areas. And business is fairly unique because you don't necessarily have to have a degree in business to start one. My parents own a successful construction company. Neither of them went to college, but I always tell students what took them 20 or 30 years to build, if you have that knowledge and that experience, may take you 5 years to build. Mm-hmm. And again, there's really no part of your life that is not made better by having experience in business, no matter how big or how small. So I encourage students who are curious, sign up for one of our Intro to Business classes or Introduction to Marketing. Our dean, Dr. Shane Hunt, teaches
You can't send them to Introduction to Marketing. Anybody you send to Introduction to Marketing with Dean Hunt is going to major in marketing, which is not bad. I'm just simply saying I talk to the guy and I suddenly start rethinking all of my life decisions and feeling like I need to go back to school and study marketing.
And I think that's a common theme across our majors, because I hear that about your personal finance class, Professor Street's Introduction to Business, mm-hmm. Dr. Hunt's Introduction to Marketing. And I think it's because our professors are dynamic, but I also think it's because they're so passionate about what business can do for your life, for your opportunities. And that comes across in the way that they teach, and students really can feel that.
I think it's the passion for what we teach. It's the passion for this institution. What I love, you know, as I mingle with you and as I mingle with other members of our faculty, and there's so many of us that were here as undergrads and want to be back here, and this is where we want to be. And it's because we love this place, we love the students, we loved our experience, we want to share that. If you're here, if you're listening, if you're not a student, come be a student. If somehow you stumbled upon this podcast and you are far, far away from Idaho State University, come and join us. Ashley, it's a pleasure having you. I really appreciate you being here with me. I appreciate all you do for our students. I appreciate all you do for me. Many times I've had to email and get a lot of help. And so thank you so much for all of that. Another episode of the Financial Literacy Podcast has come and gone. And we look forward to you joining us again next time.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU-FM. Shows are produced at KISU Studios in Pocatello. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy Show can be found at KISU.org or from Spotify and other select podcast services. Music was produced by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Major funding support for KISU local programming comes from the Associated Students of Idaho State University.